You people get settled in, but before we get started, it is good to be here tonight, and it's encouraging to see everyone here, even when you knew a substitute teacher would be here tonight, so good to see everyone here. We are in Lesson 8 of our study in God's grace, and Lesson 8, we are growing in God's grace, and we're getting close to the end of our lessons here, and before we get started, thought it'd be good to kind of get into a little bit of a review to set up this class. Again, the class objective, you know, was to help us to gain a greater clarity and comfort in God's grace. And this clarity, as we know, you mentioned grace to the world and to the religious world. There's some misconceptions, there's some error. You think about, you know, Romans 6:1. Should we continue in sin so that grace may abound? So there's some, you know, different teaching on grace, on salvation, on faith. So we need to have a clarity, not only for ourselves, but so that we can help and teach others. And then also part of our objective is have this comfort, to have, you know, this peace, this strength, this hope in God's grace. So that's what we are trying to achieve in this class. As I was preparing for this class, anyone has the cover sheet or lessons. And it lists some other objectives, and I was like, maybe I should check those and make sure what I'm preparing is matching up to what we should be talking about. And as I went through them, I was like, yeah, these things are popping up in this lesson. And as I thought, on the other classes we had, most of the classes have touched on these objectives to develop a well-rounded concept of God's grace, including His character, actions, and purposes, to understand the cost that Jesus paid and the conditions that God set for receiving His grace, to avoid false teachings that distort God's grace, to rejoice in God and the blessings He grants us by His grace, to imitate God's grace by showing grace to others who disappoint or hurt us, and to renew our hope in God's grace. So as I was preparing this class, these objectives kept popping up, and I hope you see that in tonight's class. And also, as a review, you've seen this slide. You know, talking about God's grace. God's grace can be described as God's admirable character to act with kindness. We do not reserve to accomplish what we cannot alone. So we talk about God's admirable character. So it describes a quality associated with a person. So we think about the personal qualities of Jesus. To act with kindness. So we think about the actions taken to benefit others. And we think about Jesus' sacrifice to achieve that. And then to accomplish what we cannot alone. And we think about God's accomplishments, what He has done for us, the results of His accomplishments. We think about our justification. We can't do that ourselves. It's through God's grace. Tonight, we will talk about growing in grace and how I'm going to kind of look at this, and hopefully it goes this way and this makes sense. You know, our verse, if you want to take your Bibles and turn to 2 Peter, that's what will be most of the night. We'll put the verses on the screen, but it'd probably be good to have your Bibles open to 2 Peter, and we'll begin in chapter 3. But at the end of 2 Peter, Peter writes, grow in grace, and he uses the phrase. So what does that mean exactly? What are we to grow in grace? And once we achieve that, how do I grow in grace? And then why is it so important? So that's kind of how we're going to kind of look at this class tonight. So again, for class, our key verse tonight is 2 Peter 3:18, where Peter writes, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's interesting, this is the last verse of 2 Peter. And I believe I'm correct when I say this, that the only other time that Peter in this letter talks about grace or mentions grace is at the beginning of the letter, 2 Peter 1:2, where he begins and says, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. It's interesting, in the first Peter that we have, he begins the same with the same phrase. He begins, grace and peace be multiplied to you. So we have these bookends. We have this letter that Peter begins with grace and he ends with grace. So I thought it would be good to say, well, since we have these bookends, let's look at 2 Peter and see what Peter says about growing in grace. So that may be a little small. I apologize, but I wanted to put verses 2 through 11 on the screen. That's why it's probably good to have your Bibles open too. But we'll be focusing on these verses most of the class. And if I can get a volunteer, I know it's a lengthy reading, but if I can get someone to read verses 2 through 11, that'd be helpful. Go ahead, Steve. Appreciate that. Thank you. So as we begin this in verse 2, we talking about growing in grace, and he says, grace and peace be multiplied. So the first thing that pops out to me is this multiplied. So you have this concept that God wants us to grow. And so he's from the beginning. And then in verse 3, it says, for his divine power has granted to us. So granted, it has been given to us. And what has he granted us in verse 3? Everything. Everything we need, God has given to us, pertaining to life and godliness. You know, overall, I think most people want to know how to live a good life. You go to a bookstore, how many self-help books do you see in there? And I think you ask a lot of people, they want to know what pleases God. They want to please God. Well, here it says, God has given to us everything that we need to know that pleases him. And then in verse 4, through these he has granted to us. So you have that word again, granted. And what has he granted to us in verse 4? Yes, and how are his promises described here? Precious and magnificent. And you think he doesn't mention any promises, but I think about the promises that, you know, God gives us and Jesus gives us. You know, the promises that, you know, if we follow him, we submit to him, our sins will be forgiven. We have promises that he will hear our prayers. We have promises of an eternal home if we follow him. And no one else could do this. Only this Jesus, the Son of God, can make these promises. And what, in verse 4, what are the results of his promises? That's part of it, yes. Yeah. And then what do you say? He says that you may become what? Partakers. So what does that mean? When you say partakers, what does that mean when you hear partakers? Yeah. And to join in, to be a part of. And so he's inviting us to be a part of him. I think Teresa said, like, not to be part of, to be part of him and not to be part of the corruption in this world. God wants us to be changed and to be transformed. God wants to have a relationship with us. And he's extending his grace, this grace, so that we can be in that relationship. And just think about it for a moment. Here you have Jesus who's perfect and holy, and he's willing to share that with us. He wants to be part of that. And he wants to share that with us so that we can have that relationship with God. And this is what we want to grow in. We want to grow in that relationship, to be part of, to be partakers of that divine nature. God wants us to be like him and to have that relationship with him. Any thoughts or comments in verses 2 through 4? Okay. So now that we know that, you know, part of his grace is, you know, God wants us to be like him. He wants to be part. We have to have a relationship with us. How do we grow? Let's look at, let's go back to verse 3. And it says, for his divine power has granted us. So I think it's important to note that the source of this is from Jesus. It's not from us. It doesn't come from us. It's not something we can do or we do. It starts and it comes from Jesus. Nothing that we can do to earn this. It comes from Jesus' power and glory. And then in continuing in verse 3, it also comes through what? It comes through knowledge. And in this reading, verses, you know, 2 through 11, you have knowledge mentioned here in verse 2. I'm sorry, verse 3. But it's also mentioned in verse 8. It talks about knowledge. Then also, it's mentioned in our key verse, 3:18. Remember, Peter says, grow in grace and what? And knowledge. And we can't be like Jesus without the knowledge of Jesus. And so what kind of, you know, relationship or knowledge are we talking about? Is it just about facts? Is Peter referring to here when he talks about knowledge? Go ahead, Paul. Go ahead. Yep. Go ahead. You had a comment? We're going to get to that. He mentions that later in the letter about difficult passages. Somebody else had a comment? Right. I think our knowledge of Jesus and our relationship with Jesus begins. That's where it begins. It begins with facts. It begins with basics. But after we have these facts and basics, that should cause our thoughts to change. And then when our thoughts change, that should affect our character. Our character should change. And then when our character change, our actions should change. I think about knowledge. I know most of the people in this room. Some of you, I just met tonight, and I know your name and where you came from. where you're from. That's all I know of you. Some of you I've known a few years, and I know some more details about your life. But there's others I've known for many years, and I know more details of your life. I know more of your character. I know things you like and don't like. And then there's a relationship I have with my wife, and my knowledge of her is richer and deeper than any relationship I have with any other person. And I think that's what Peter's kind of driving at, this knowledge, is this relationship knowledge. And that's what we're striving toward to get to, is to have that intimate, that rich, deep knowledge and fellowship with God. Go ahead.
God described it, given a knowledge, revealing word, and that revelation with God in your grace.
Yeah, I think of, you know, just human nature. You know, you have something great. Most people don't want to share that. I mean, they want to hold on to it just for themselves. And here he is, you know, God, who's holy and perfect, the people who are, you know, sinned against him, and he wants to share that with you and provide that. Do you have something there? So, again, I think that intimate knowledge, that intimate relationship is what we're striving to achieve and try to develop. And so, you know, like my wife, as my, you know, knowledge of her grows and deepens, that's how we should look at our relationship and knowledge of God. Any thoughts or comments on that? Yes, Christy. And that's a good segue to the next section, unless anybody else has any kind of comment. So let's look at verses 5 through 7 real quick. And verse 5, he says, "For now, this very reason, also applying all diligence." So we have, diligence in your faith. So to have faith, you have to believe and trust in Jesus' divine nature. But if we want to grow, we need to be more like Jesus. And Peter, in verses 5 through 7, lists some qualities and characteristics. So let's look through 5 and 7. What characteristics do you see there in those verses? Go ahead. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that gets to Christy's comment about participation. There's a part that we have to do ourselves. But let's look at, yeah, and so we have faith, and then he talks about, what, moral excellence, knowledge in verse 5, and then verse 6, self-control, perseverance, godliness, brotherly kindness, and love. So look at all those characteristics, and let's just run through those real quick and kind of talk about those. So in verse 5, he says moral excellence. Are there any other translations that have another word for moral excellence? Virtue, okay? And when we talk about virtue, you know, we're talking like acting with honor, acting with integrity, goodness, okay? And then verse 5, knowledge. So knowing God through Jesus, properly understanding Scripture. Verse 6, we have self-control. So having a discipline or restraint over our desires and emotions. And that's definitely not what the world teaches these days. The world teaches whatever you feel like. Do it. Verse 6, perseverance, another word. Does anybody else have a different translation, different word for perseverance? Steadfastness, yes. Endurance. I love that concept. You know, when faced with difficulty or adversity, we don't give up. We keep on keeping on. Yes, I'm sorry. Go ahead. Paul? Yeah. And that gets into that knowledge. And a lot of Second Peter is written about false teachers and standing up against them. So, yeah, and these characteristics will help you do that. And continuing here, verse 6, godliness. How would you define godliness in that character? How would you define that? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we have like a loyalty to him, or a reverence to God. And it should be in every aspect of our life. It shouldn't just be, it should be everything we do. It should reflect our devotion to God. Then we get to verse 7, brotherly kindness. And this, I think this is more than just friendship. It's a love that family members have for each other. And in verse 7, we have love. And, of course, love is more than just feelings. It's a sacrificial love, seeking the benefit of others. And this comment was made, I think, by Steve, one of the visitors, but are all these characteristics, are they easy? No, not at all. You think about just the concept of growth. Growth doesn't happen by accident. I think of a baby in a crib. They don't wake up one morning and say, "I'm going to run around the house today." Now, it's a process. Anybody that's had children knows that at first they got to be able to, you know, kind of hold themselves up, roll over. And then they're, you know, crawling. And then they, you know, eventually they can hold them up, holding their parents' fingers, and then take some steps. And then they start to learn to walk, and they stumble. And then they can walk on their own gingerly, and then it gets better. And then they can, it's not an instantaneous process. I think of a bodybuilder, someone who wants to build muscles. That is definitely a lot of hard work. So growth is never, it's not easy. It's constant. And it's not like we wake up one day as Christians and say, I got it. I'm perfect. I got this under control. I know what I'm doing. No, it's a constant effort in every day that we live. And then, look at verse 5. You hear that word we talked about before, diligence. And I think it's mentioned again in verse 10, diligent. There's effort there. There's effort in growth. It doesn't come easy. But there may be some people that say, oh, okay, yeah, moral excellence, okay, knowledge, I got that, self-control. Yeah, I've got these things, and I got them. I'm a good person. I've got these under control. But if you ever get that kind of mindset, here's a challenge. Are you doing it like Jesus did? You think about, just think about Jesus' life. Think about the events around his crucifixion. I mean, the night before he's crucified, he's washing disciples' feet. He's washing the Jews' feet. On the cross, what did he tell, you know, his father? Father, what? Forgive them. So if we ever get, you know, arrogant and think we got this under control, are we doing this like Jesus did it? For the sake of time, we'll do this. The lesson sheet had asked for examples of growth. Growth is not just here in 2 Peter. Anybody had on their lesson sheet any examples that Jesus talked about growth? Go ahead. Forget one second. Go ahead, Teresa. Yeah, I had that. Luke 2:52. I had that written down. Yes. I'm sorry. Yes, Sue. The mustard seed. Mm-hmm. Yep. And I had like the parable of the sower. The good seed, what it grows and multiplies. Jesus and God, he wants us to grow. You hear the examples. But also, I think this was in your lesson sheet. Flip over to Titus chapter 2 real quick. Titus chapter 2 and verses 11 through 14. If somebody could read those verses real quick. 11 through 14, Titus chapter 2. Wait, Stuart. Through 14, yes. Yes. Yeah, please do. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate that. I love these verses here. I think it encapsulates a lot what we've been talking about in the past. You know, you talk about, beginning in verse 11, you know, talks about this grace that brings salvation to who? To all people. And then talks about how he renounces ungodliness and worldly passions. And then to live godly lives in the present age, waiting for our hope, our great God and Savior who redeemed us. And then how does that end? In verse 14, how does that end? What are we to do? How are we described in that? Zealous people doing good works. So knowing what God has done, who he is and what he's done for us, that should be the natural our reaction to that. We should be zealous to do good works. Any thoughts or comments on, you know, verses 5 through 7 and those qualities and those characteristics that's listed here in our strive to do that? Yes, right. And any other comments? And you can't, like, take just one without the other. All kind of, you know, eventually as you grow, they kind of grow together and kind of overlap and build on each other. And there may be some things that, okay, yeah, I'm good in that area, but not good in that area. But right, yeah, right, yeah. If you're not growing, you're either stagnant or you're declining. And so, yeah, yes, sir.
I heard put your food in there, last one out, going out, dark again.
Yeah, and if you know, if you had all, you know, whatever list this is, 6, 7 list items. If you had, like, you know, 6 of the 7. If you're missing one, it's going to stand out. Any other thoughts or comments on verses 5 through 7? Yep. And it gets back to that verse 4, partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world on account of lust. So, yes, Paul, go ahead. Well, hold on to that thought. Let's go into the class, and we'll get to that at the end, if you don't mind. So, okay, thank you. This growing in grace, being partakers of the divine nature, having this being more like Jesus in verses 5 through 7. Let's look at verses 8, you know. But why should we grow in grace? We've touched on some things, but let's look at verses 8 through 11. Why should we grow in grace? In verse 8, it says, you know, if these qualities are yours, we will not be what? Ineffective. Any other words that are used there? Barren, okay, barren. Useless, unproductive, idle. Yeah, if these qualities are yours and you're increasing in them, then you will not be ineffective or unfruitful. And I think most people want to be useful. They want to be used to do something. They want to be productive. And if we want to be useful, then we must be making every effort to grow in each of those areas, each of those characteristics. And then look at verse 9. But look at the contrast in verse 9. Whoever lacks these qualities is what? Short-sighted, blind, and having forgotten what? What has cleansed from your former sins? You know, when we lack these qualities, we are so nearsighted that we cannot see what Jesus has done for us. And, you know, we can't see how Jesus cleansed our sins. And how insulting is that? I mean, think about if you did something, you sacrificed something for somebody, and they just totally forgot about it and didn't acknowledge it. I mean, how insulting is that? How would you feel if that happened to you? And also, you know, we talked about, I think this was mentioned, I think Larry mentioned this, there's a danger also in drifting back into what? Into the world, into the corrupt world, if we're not growing. So I think that's, you know, why do we do this? Well, because there's a danger we could drift back into the world where we came from. We forget what has been given to us. And then so in verse 10, he says, therefore, after saying all that, we need to be diligent. Again, there's that word. We need to make an effort. We need to strive. We need to increase. And if we do so, Peter says there's two results if we do so, if we increase. First one, I think is in verse 10. What's the first item? It says you will never stumble. You will never fall. You will have confidence in your salvation. And then in verse 11, what's the second item that Peter writes here, that result of this? Yeah, we are citizens of a glorious kingdom. You have reached the goal. You know, you have finished the race, eternal home in heaven. And notice how it's described, how it's provided. How is it supplied to us? Abundantly, richly. Again, Jesus is the source of this. Want to go back. So any thoughts or comments on those verses 8 through 11? Yes, sir. Right. And that's one of the misconceptions of grace by those in the world. Oh, God's given me grace. I can do anything I want to because I'm covered by grace. And that's, again, like you said, he's exceeded that, but we have a part too. We have a duty also. We have to respond to that grace and grow. Any other comments in this section 2 through 11? So I want to go back. We started the lesson on 3:18, and we talked about this, but grow in the grace and knowledge. And we talked about how, you know, Peter begins and ends the letter with grace, but he also begins and ends the letter with knowledge. So if I can get somebody to read verses 14 through 18 of 2 Peter 3. Verses 14 through 18. Oh, right. Thank you. So verse 14, we have that diligent word again. So again, make every effort to be found how? Without spot or blemish. And also be found at peace. Then look at the second part of verse 16. It talks about, you know, those who twist the scriptures. Does that work? Yes, it does. You're not going to fully understand the scriptures by reading it just once. It takes effort. It requires study to understand the scriptures. And if you're not going to be diligent in your study of the scriptures, if you're going to be lazy in doing that, it's going to lead to, you know, misinterpreting the scriptures. It's going to lead to errors. You'll take verses out of context, not use them correctly. And the threat is we could falsely teach others by not fully understanding what Scripture says. So we have that responsibility to fully understand, to study, to know what the Scripture says, not only for us, but again, to help others, to teach others. And like I said, 2 Peter, was a lot of it is written about guarding against false teachers. And knowing that there were false teachers, we need to be careful not to be carried away by their errors and to lose what? Our stability. And that leads into verse 18 in the but. So knowing that people could do that, but grow in the grace and knowledge. And we ask that question to begin the class. Why do we do this? Why is it that we grow in grace? I think the ultimate reason is found in verse 18 at the end. To him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. We grow in grace because it gives God glory. For us, for everyone, for all the world to know who he is and what he does. So I think that's the ultimate reason why we grow in grace, so that we can glorify God. And that's why it's important never to stop growing. Any thoughts or comments on that part?
I like what Paul said, 1 Corinthians, the grace of God. I am what I am. When we've got all of it, it's still for the grace of God that we are. But revealed his will and given us motivation, we would not be.
Yep. I think about Peter, who wrote this letter. And you think about, Peter's life, Peter's experiences with Jesus. He was an apostle with Jesus. Imagine the grace he witnessed Jesus showing others while Jesus was there. And think about Peter denying Jesus before he was crucified. And then afterwards, knowing that he was risen. Can you imagine Peter's reaction? How he felt? Almost like to have a second chance. And then after all that, there's that scene where Jesus is talking to Peter and he says to Peter, "Peter, do you love me?" And what did he tell Peter to do? "Feed my sheep." And so I think that's our responsibility to grow, to have that relationship with Jesus, relationship with God, give him the glory, and to feed his sheep. Any other thoughts or comments for our last minute? On Sunday, Lord willing, Philip will talk about continuing in God's grace. So hopefully I did not overstep or cover anything that he's going to cover on Sunday, but appreciate your comments, and thank you again.